Welcome to From Caving In to Crushing It, the podcast for those who find themselves immersed in adversity and choose to write their story instead of having others write it for them. I'm Drew Duraney, and I'm your host.
Today's guest is Jeff Serra. Jeff Serra is a self-development sensei and Reiki practitioner, focusing on healing the physical body, emotional state, and energetic being. His business, Food for Thought, is an empowering motivational service that supports you with holistically achieving goals in your business, health, personal, or love life. He guides you through a self-discovery journey to achieve self-mastery by removing self-limiting beliefs and self-sabotage. Jeff also supports you with developing self-confidence, self-love, self-worth, and self-respect. Enjoy the show. Jeff, so good to see you, my friend.
Great to see you too, Drew. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's been a while since we got a chance to talk, but you're one of the guys who I connected with right away. And I feel like I know you a little better than some people I've known for years, which is always a cool thing when you can connect with somebody and it's seamless. So,
yes.
So, you know, and I always like to thank the person who introduced us. And I actually do have a spreadsheet that tells me how I meet people. So unless you have a jump on it, do you remember how we met?
Was it Matt?
It may be. So what I'm going to do here, this is going to be fun. This is always fun because sometimes I forget. And quite often I can narrow it down to it's like the same person who introduced me to people. But it's then, you know, down the road, I meet other people, but it always goes back to them. So let's see. Here we go. You know who it was? Tanya LaGault. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
That was how it was, Tanya, a while back. Wow. Yeah. So I got to thank Tanya for the introduction. Obviously, she thought we'd connect, and she was right. So thank you, Tanya.
So, yeah. Been a while.
Always love to pay it forward because often we forget how we meet people. And that's what networking and relationships are all about, Jeff, right?
Yep.
So, Jeff, you're on because I saw something in you, especially from your story, that made me really realize that you are one of the strong men on this earth who we need to help other men become strong as well. And the reason I say that is, you know, when we're growing up, we're often told that life is a linear, like a straight path. If you do certain things are going to turn out okay. And ultimately, external circumstances happen and it kind of derails that straight line. And if we're not aware of that, it takes us by surprise and we may make decisions that aren't in our best interests. I firmly believe there's three types of men. You got men out there, let's say for the sake of argument, I'll call him man number one, who's got blind spots and he doesn't notice that life can be better because he doesn't really have any self-awareness and he just goes through life just the way it is. Then you get man number two who has some self-awareness and realizes things. Yet he takes that victim approach and these bad things happen to me. Life's happening to me. I'm the victim. And he doesn't do anything to change his world, which he has control over. I love to speak to man number three, when I consider you man number three. And that's a man who at some point in his life noticed something that others would see as an adversity that will hold him back. And you saw it as an opportunity to catapult you forward to be a stronger human being. And so my ask to you is to go as far back as you can to pinpoint that defining moment. It was either that tap on the shoulder or the 2x4 upside the head that made you realize, damn, Jeff, there's a better way to live. And here's an opportunity. I'm going to take this on and do things in life differently. And now you are who you are. Can you tell us about that story, Jeff?
Well, I have been all three of those men at different points.
Yeah, we all have, right?
Yeah. Let's see. I think the journey has been interesting, but I think the pivotal moment was a relationship ending in around 2020. Mm-hmm. There was a shift.
Okay.
And then a relationship that ended in 2022.
Mm.
Or actually 2021 that had me realize the patterns I was repeating or creating in my romantic relationships, that was something I controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And to start to see that I actually controlled a lot in my life, and it was through my choices and actions and what I had perceived before, which was like, yeah, I'm a victim of these things, not realizing like, oh, I'm a victim of those things that I chose. And so realizing, oh, okay, I get to do some work and develop and be better. But yeah, that realization of, I think it started in the romantic space for me to be like, oh, this is the truth in all areas of life.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you said that because there, and I believe this now that the way we handle one situation in life is usually the way we're going to handle all different situations in life. So the fact that you realized that, yes, it was a romantic relationship you acted, well, if that's a pattern of behavior in other aspects, that's the same results may happen in other aspects of your life. So when you realize that, Jeff, what did you do differently from maybe some of the other times in life where you encountered an adversity?
The first thing I did was I got some advice from a friend to stay single for at least a year.
I love
And I was
that.
like, yeah, right. But doing so, that was a shift because previously my pattern was to go from relationship to relationship. So at most there'd be maybe 3 months in between them. And this would be, not just dating, but like in a relationship with somebody where it's like,
Okay.
okay, next step would be we're moving in together or something of that
Okay.
nature.
Right.
Not taking a lot of time for myself to really find out who I was or what I liked, because I realized the other pattern was the exes I had, they would be kind of opposites of each other. So I'd go from one polarity to the other to be like, oh, I
Okay.
don't like this aspect of that person. So then I'd find the exact opposite.
I
And then
see. Okay.
thing, and it was like not so much what I actually wanted, it's just I knew what I didn't want.
Okay.
And so taking that time to be alone, not just in relationship, but also by myself to learn more about myself. When I was in relationships, I would focus heavily on my partner, and then there was no mental space to learn about me. It was like learning about them, what their likes were, what their needs were, and then fulfilling that. So breaking that pattern to spend time alone for a year and do the deep dive into myself to be like, oh, this is who I am. This is what I like. This is what I need. That was the first step. Then realizing like, wow, I didn't realize I didn't know these things, because that sounds ridiculous, but when that's been the pattern since like, junior high, you don't realize those things.
Good for you to realize that. And those patterns are often a challenge to break. I mean, those patterns are often a challenge to even notice you're doing it. So once you notice that pattern and you were able to be with yourself, and I think the most important relationship we can have is the one with ourselves, and many of us don't give us that opportunity to be able to do that. So when you went through that and learned about yourself, what do you think you learned about yourself that you did not realize?
Shit, everything.
Everything. Oh my goodness. All right. All right.
Because one of my greatest weaknesses, which has become my greatest strength, was that I didn't put any focus on myself and I projected outwards. So when I was a teenager, I would ask people about their lives. I would see what was going on with them to offer support, guidance, conversation. But it was a coping mechanism. It was a way to distract myself from what I had going on internally. And so I developed the skill set to support other people, but then I also wasn't using that to support myself. And so yeah, it was like noticing that I didn't know much about me at all, because I had surrounded myself with others and then just really kind of adapted what was present for them or what their truth was.
How did you, what did you, what was the number one thing you did for yourself in order to get to know you? Tool, thought, I don't know, just give me something that you, that really helped.
Two things. The first one was spending a lot of time alone, and this was during COVID. So during the
Okay.
lockdown, just like, we're
Kind of
not seeing
forced to do it.
people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that
Okay.
was one aspect. The other one was psilocybin.
Yeah. All
So
right.
during that time, we're locked up at home, not a lot to do, run out of things to watch on Netflix, started to recreationally play with psilocybin. That became like started to unlock things and just have these different ways of looking at the world or viewing things, and the way I described it back then was like different puzzles. So there's a puzzle over here, there's a puzzle over here, all over the place with different areas of my life or just the world. And then as I was thinking about these things, starting to see how those puzzles were actually smaller puzzles within the larger, and they actually all interconnect. And then starting to realize and see that, like, again, how we do one thing is how we do most things. That's also for the greater world of how one area of life is, it's also true in this other space. And so it's like everything was interconnected and starting to see those patterns. And again, through the support of psilocybin journeying, my mental space, I think, was becoming more expansive and allowing me to see these things. And then also then taking that lens and directing it inwards to be like, oh, what else is there that I don't know about me? And then realizing my past and the things I had run from created patterns in my present to be like, oh, the way that I am in this area of life is driven from this core thing that happened or this memory. And not realizing or having consciousness around it, but then starting to see how the dots interconnected.
So when after using the psilocybin, when you've come back to, I guess, reality, is that there's a memory of what you went through with the psilocybin that you can actually change, or does it release it for you while that works?
Let's see. So back then, I was not using it intentionally or as a medicine. It was just recreational and irresponsible. So there wasn't like a conscious effort to have that happen. It was
Oh, I
just
see.
the background. And
Got
then
it.
I didn't realize that that was a side effect of it, because again, I'm coming back to reality. I'm sober now, and it's like now I'm thinking different. Now it's now that I'm aware of these things, and when I journey now, it's more intentional. Like I set an intention.
I
This
see.
is a thing I want to explore, understand, or unravel, and then putting mental focus there, and then allowing myself to essentially meditate or reflect on it, without ego or bias or any of the other things that come up when we're typically thinking about it. And so that's what the psilocybin supports with, is stripping away all the defense layers and the things that tend to self-sabotage our train of thought.
Pretty powerful tool. Psilocybin in and of itself, but to be able to have the tool where you can actually establish what you create with our thoughts. And our thoughts are impermanent. They are spontaneous and they dissipate unless we sit in them and allow them to control us. And so I mean, I can go anywhere with this. Let's say if you were not to use, if somebody was not going to use psilocybin or the psychedelics, and they had to practice something to give them that same result. And I'm not talking about pharmaceuticals, because pharmaceuticals, those things mask root cause and it numbs us and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the individual who's trying to do it himself.
Yeah, same thing. Set the intention and then take the time. So through meditation, through spending time alone, self-reflection. Now, I think it is something that's supportive to have a team of people that can support you in this journey. So taking the time, spending it alone, being with your thoughts, and then afterwards debriefing or reflecting with someone else. Because we could have these thoughts and have these almost talking to ourselves in our mind, but the moment you say something out loud to another person, there's another effect. It locks it in, or it solidifies it and makes it more true for you. And I found some of the most supportive things was just someone else listening to me as I was talking about something, be like, oh, realization of this is a thing I may have known, but I've never said it out loud. And saying it out loud now, has it become part of this reality versus just a thought?
And I love that sharing it with somebody else, also being careful on who you're sharing it with, and they understand what the expectation is, because too many people will give unsolicited advice. So if we're talking to the person who's either judgmental or gives unsolicited advice, isn't helpful for us. So would you so how did you determine who are the right individuals with whom you should Be vulnerable with, so you receive the support that is best for you.
Creating your support system that works for you,
Got it.
because there's always chemistry, right?
Right.
The right person that supports me will not be the right person for you.
Right.
And it can be, sometimes we have this idea of, okay, well, my brother's my best friend, or my spouse is my best friend, so that person's going to be my person for everything. But we don't realize that everyone has strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly. Right.
Someone's brother may be great for them to do that with, but that may not be the case for person B. And so finding your team that can support with various things, right?
Right.
So this is the person I vent to. This is the person I go to for advice. This is the person I go to, like, just live and enjoy things and not think about these deep things. This is someone I do go to and have these deep conversations. So kind of breaking down your support system into the strengths and weaknesses everyone has, knowing for yourself who you can go to in moments that you need something specific. And then also having multiples of each one. So if there's a time when I'm in breakdown and I need to just have someone support me, I don't want to have just one person that I solely rely on, because if they're not available, then I'm asked out.
Yep,
So if you
got
have multiple people to hold space for that one thing, and not, again, not being reliant on others, where it's like, okay, if no one's available, I'll still be okay, and I get to have that conversation later. So the number
that.
one person.
Wow. I love that. I love that you said that, because if we are reliant on others and we don't believe or have enough self-acceptance or belief that we can do it ourselves, and we rely on them and they're not available, then not good things can happen. But you're really talking about really plan A, B, and C in a way, all being important. Plan A, reach out to so and so. You can't reach them. You got somebody else. Can't reach them. You got yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I
it's
love
that
that.
balance, right? Because
Yes.
sometimes we could fall into the spiral of, I asked two people, no one's there for me. And then that becomes your truth and your reality of, like, I can never rely on other people. It's like,
Of
no,
course.
just today at this time, no one was available. So I'm going to do this with me, and I got me. And the next time this happens, we'll try again. Not having it
Again.
become, I can't ever reach out to anyone, because that's something else that men especially fall into, that pattern of, I don't want to ask for help. So
Yeah,
knowing when
very
it
true.
is time for you to reach out for
Yeah.
that support.
I'm glad you said that, Jeff, because I'm in this space, you're in this space of, and we'll get to what you're doing professionally, but just because we've been doing work on ourselves and we're progressing, we're always a work in progress. I in the last 3 days have I don't call it step backwards. I may have stepped sideways, because something called slippage can always happen to any human being, regardless of your quote unquote expertise or how long you've been doing it. And that's why we always talk about how therapists need therapists, coaches need coaches, people need humans, other humans, and connection to be there for them. And you mentioned about with COVID and not having isolation, that's the worst thing that could have happened to any human being, is being told you have to be isolated. Now, you fortunately had the capacity to see the benefit of being alone, and you didn't isolate yourself. You worked on yourself, and you still talk to people. It wasn't like you didn't talk to anybody. There is people who didn't know what it was like to reach inside. And so that type of isolation was detrimental, and we're working on helping those types of people who can't be with themselves.
Yeah.
So all that stuff that you, the work you did, how did that transform you into who you are, and what are you doing now, both for yourself and for others, personally, professionally? What are you doing professionally to help people in need?
Yeah, I mean, that was going from man A to man, or man number one to man number three. Because there wasn't any awareness of that previously. And it was just, being a victim of these things and falling into the patterns of projecting outwards or blaming others for the things that happened in my life. And then taking that dive inwards had me realize, like, oh, I'm actually in control of all this. And it gets to be, it's almost kind of painful, because our ego builds these layers of defense to be like, no, like, this isn't my fault, it's this other thing. But realizing, like, oh, even the people I choose to hang out with or spend time around is a choice. And that becomes part of the end result that I'm unhappy of this area. But then that also means you have to make a choice of the people you spend time with. And
Absolutely.
for me, every time I elevate, there's a shift in the people that are in my space. And that's always the hardest part because it's letting go of certain relationships to make way for new ones.
You hit someone. I definitely want to dive into the term elevate. So I'm sure it's different for each person, but upon that elevation, is there, does the ego step up and try to grab you back from that elevation? And that is a good sign that you're onto something.
Yes and yes.
Okay. So
I think that's part of one of the benefits I've found in the putting down of old relationships.
Okay.
Because people have a perception of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you have a friend from high school, when you guys see each other, you have locked in your minds this version of each other.
True.
And in some cases, it brings out good and sometimes it brings out bad. But true. We tend to default in the comfort zone of the familiarity of like, oh, right. But when I see this person, we go, you know, we go drinking or we go and do a specific thing.
Yeah.
And if that's no longer aligned to you, you fall back into that pattern or you good default point. Back and that moves you backwards. Is it a good sign? It can be, but it can also be very uncomfortable because now you're no longer in alignment. And that person, if you're not aware of this, you start to blame that person. Be like, I don't like how I feel when I'm with this person.
Right.
Versus being able to articulate, hey, you know, when we hang out, we always do X, Y, and Z. That's no longer aligned to me. I still want to be in your space and I want you in my life, but can we do something else? Or can we shift or begin to have these conversations or adapt or adjust the relationship?
I love that.
Able to do that, then you get to grow and move forward together. And if they're not, that's the sad part where it's like, okay, we get to put this down because every time I connect with that person, I'm moving backwards into old patterns that I'm no longer, they're not a part of who I am today.
That's so true. Wow. That's powerful, Jeff, because I've just started to really, I guess, practice. I think I already always knew it and I'm practicing it now that people come into our life either for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And when you have blood relatives, it's an automatic belief that they're a lifetime, right? And there's no, that doesn't have to happen. Yes, is that challenging to have to put down or move someone out of your life who's a blood relative? Of course. But really, no individual is immune to being one of those three things, reason, season, or a lifetime. It does happen. And we do have a choice, as challenging as that choice may be. So I'm glad you mentioned that because that's not easy.
That I think the hardest part about that is that's when people are really faced with setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, say you're good at setting boundaries, but it's the boundaries with family that I think are the most difficult and the real true test, because typically there are still ties or you'll see each other at events, but it's like, what boundaries have you set and how are you making sure that they're respected?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. We're going deep here, man. Boundaries are so important. And some people don't set boundaries for their entire lives. And I think that has, I think the boundary piece may be a strong variable as to why people are man number one. Mm-hmm. Because you have no boundaries. And if you have no boundaries, you have no way to separate your truth versus somebody else's truth, right? So boundaries help you provide you a distinction between what you, like you mentioned about relationships, what you don't want versus what you do want. And sometimes I feel it's more important to know what you don't want.
Yeah.
It is what you do want.
Yeah.
And so talking about relationships, are you done with that 1 year thing? And do you venture out in the relationship thing? And has that helped you know yourself and act differently in the relationships?
Yeah. That was quite a while ago. That was an amazing journey because it was like a challenge that was actually presented to me. A friend was like, hey, this is what I do when a relationship ends so that I don't repeat patterns or I learn from it.
Yeah.
She said, you know, take a year off. And I was like, okay. It's like, I'll try this. And then I actually followed through with it. I still like went on dates and still interacted with people, but I didn't jump into full relationships to be like, okay, I'm with this person and we're, you know, setting up what that looks like for our future and all these other things. And I'm kind of still in that space of not looking for like a relationship to fulfill my time. Because I think
Right.
that's what it was before. It was like, I need another person, right? Like, I
Right.
can't go
Fill the
do this
gap.
fun
Yeah.
thing alone because I
Absolutely.
want to do it and share that with someone else. And then now it's like spending time to be like, oh, and I can do that by myself.
And good.
And so still on that journey of learning and growing, but also not like opposed to,
Right.
but also things have like significantly shifted for me where I think there's also the conditioning of what relationships should look like. In today's society, it's like, you get married, you have kids,
Right.
get married, you get a house and you have kids and that becomes your life forever. But
Right.
there's so many people that I know are divorced, going through a divorce or unhappy in their relationships where I do believe, similar to our friendships, there's just periods of time and, some relationships, including romantic ones, are, here for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Love
And
that.
even in that, it's I don't know if there is one person for the rest of my life. I think it
Right.
is more seasonal, like, hey, this is who I'm with today, and this is what I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah.
If we do that again tomorrow, cool. But it's also like, and in a month from now, that'll probably be different.
Right.
So kind of operating in that space of just going with the flow and allowing things to unfold, and then along that journey, learning all different types of things that I didn't know if I hadn't had that experience with a
Right.
specific type of individual.
Sure. Yeah. You know, very, very healthy outlook, Jeff. And I hope that others who are listening will take into consideration that approach that you mentioned, that we don't have to go about things the way we were told we need to, right? We have choices, and there's so many different ways we define the word relationship. We can define what we believe a healthy relationship is. Right? Yeah. It's our truth. You don't have to listen to other people's truth. Jeff, thank you so much for that. So, Jeff, tell me what you're doing professionally. I mean, I know what you're doing professionally, but can you share with the audience?
I'm a self-development sensei and a Reiki practitioner. And so I support people with taking a look at the entire picture to support them with going on that healing journey. So when people approach me for self-development initially, that's more of the mindset, right? The mental side.
Right.
And then I integrate and bring Reiki into it as part of the physical and the spiritual side. And then on the other half, when people approach me just for Reiki sessions, then it's typically something physical or something spiritual. And then we integrate and take a look at the root cause, which is typically something in the mind. And so combining the two to really have people do the work and have a healing that doesn't just kind of serve as like an Advil or some type of ibuprofen where it's temporary and
Perfect.
then it comes back later. So really finding what the root cause is and then doing the work to support them with how do you move forward and out of the space you're in that's causing whatever the issue is.
Beautiful, beautiful. Love that. Love that. And it's work that's needed, and a lot of people certainly benefit from working with somebody like you, Jeff. So thank you for sharing that. Any advice you'd give to somebody out there when it comes to them choosing somebody to work with who's in your field? Like what do you what gives you more uniqueness that has you stand out from other coaches who do personal development? And maybe it's the Reiki, I don't know. But tell me.
I find that it's always chemistry.
Okay.
So I think I know people in the past where it's like, oh, I therapy's not for me. And I think it's just they didn't find the right therapist, right? And it's similar to romantic relationships. It's like you break up with somebody, it's like, oh, dating or that doesn't not for you. It's that person wasn't for you. So trusting your intuition, trusting your gut, how you feel when you have a conversation with somebody to be like, this person resonates with me, this person gets me, I want to work with them because there will be that chemistry and I will progress and learn much more rapidly versus somebody like what they're saying makes sense, but I don't feel great about, having conversations with them. That's probably not going to be the person for you. So trusting and learning to pay attention to your own intuition and what you feel when you talk to someone. That
Very
would be
important. Now, thank you for sharing that. The intuition is very important. So, Jeff, now the audience has definitely grasped, I believe, the essence of Jeff Serra. And audience, you're going to want to get in touch with this gentleman because he is that good. So Jeff has mentioned that if you reach out to him, you can reach out any way possible, whether it's via LinkedIn or website, which will be in the show notes. Or his email. What's your email address? Do you fair? You want to give that out?
Yeah, sure. Jeff at food, the number four, thought, and then 408.com.
I love that. Foodforthought408.com. Jeff says the first three people who reaches out to him and lets him know that you listen to this episode, he's going to offer you $30 off any service that he provides on his website if you let them know that you heard him on this episode. So thank you for being gracious, Jeff, with that offer.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So, yeah, least I can do.
All right, so I got two questions for you to end this, which I don't want to end this. This could go on forever, but I know you've got important things to do, Jeff. So, Jeff, opportunity. Your opportunity is you're sitting down with young 7 to 10-year-old Jeff, and you want to give him advice about life. What are you going to tell him?
To keep having fun.
Okay.
To not let that side or that part kind of like get crushed or put away or so continue to have fun and yeah to this is complicated advice, right? Like to not to disregard what everyone tells you, but to recognize that you can be the and live outside of the box. So especially at that age, we're very not impressionable. What's the word? We're like sponges, right? We're just absorbing
Yeah,
us.
right.
But the people that we're around are kind of telling us and creating the walls of what's acceptable
Right,
and
right.
realizing that there's more that exists outside those walls as well.
Beautiful,
Knowing where
beautiful.
that line is, I think, is very important.
I love that. All right, so now different hat. Now you're sitting down with young Jeff, the young entrepreneur, young businessman, and you want to impart some business advice on him. What are you going to tell him?
Same thing. Keep having fun because I think with
I
business,
love that.
we get into the mode of it has to be serious. It's important, so you can't take it lightly. And that's where I think we go wrong, because the moment that you start to be too serious about it, you lose the passion and the fun in it, and then the motivation comes like that leaves shortly afterwards. And so I've pursued a lot of different entrepreneurial endeavors over my lifetime, and the one that has really stuck is the one that I'm passionate about, because I've learned like, oh, there's all these things that I can do, but it's like, but I don't care, right? Like I don't want to do it. I can do it, but I
Absolutely.
don't want to do it.
Wanted.
And so the things that have stuck with me and I continue to do are the ones that I enjoy doing, so the ones that I have fun doing.
That's beautiful.
So that'd be the number one thing. It's funny, this the advice is the same, right?
It can tend to be the same. I mean, people talk about work-life balance, which I don't necessarily believe in. Because our work and our life, if in our waking moments, bleed into each other, and we have strengths in many different areas that we can adapt to personal or professional life. So, for those people who want to put a line of demarcation between life and professional, I think that's a detriment because you could strengthen some weaknesses by being good in one area, and why not bring it over to the other side, you know? So, anyway, that's wonderful advice, man. I'm gonna take your advice, man. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Keep
So,
having fun.
Jeff, I wanna thank you for coming into my life, number one. And keep doing what you're doing. You're a wonderful human being who realizes that you can offer some value for people to enhance their lives. So keep doing what you're doing, and I appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Drew. Yeah, and same to you. It's been great to like watch each other grow in this and see how things have just evolved over time. And again, the work that you're doing is very much needed. And so on behalf of all the men, thank you.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. All right, Jeff, take care, my friend. And everybody out there, please be good to yourselves. Take care. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe and give us a review to help others find it. I'd like you to answer this question. Are you living the life you want to live? Or are you living the life others want you to live? I'd like you to think about that for a second, because I strongly suggest you live the life you want to live. If you want to learn more about what I stand for and my services and how I'm able to help many men get out of their own way, please go to my website at www.profitcompassion.com.
Feel free to also email me at drew@profitcompassion.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Take care of yourself and choose to write your own story instead of letting others write it for you.